English law arbitration, if any, London ICC rules. London English law and the ICC do exist at least, so they have something going there. This one was also enforced. A court was able to say, look, the parties clearly intended to arbitrate. We don't know where. We don't know anything about the process, but they did agree to arbitrate. So the courts will tend to work fairly hard to enforce arbitration agreements. The mandate coming from the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals that you see playing out often in our trial courts is, we're going to enforce arbitration agreements. We're going to confirm the awards. Who knows what direction that swings over the future? We've seen courts becoming a little bit more reticent to weigh in on fights over arbitrability, but right now, the courts do work to send cases to arbitration, but make it easy. Try not to end up in court in the first place. Now, some things to think about when putting together that arbitration clause, because the one I put up for you is not one I would cut and paste into an agreement. There's more you can do. Because some of the objections you hear to arbitration are, well, I don't like the fact that if I'm unhappy with the outcome, I have no recourse the way I would if I were in court. Well, most arbitral institutions now have appellate rules. You may want to use them, you may not. A lot of parties say, look, I just want an answer and I want to move on down the road. But the AAA, JAMS, CPR, those organizations all have optional appellate rules, and I've given you the websites here in the paper and also in the PowerPoint. You can go and take a look at how that works. Other things to think about, if you wanted to say, look, we just want a thumbs up, thumbs down, you can consider what the AAA calls, that's the American Arbitration Association, calls last final offer, or what I would call baseball arbitration. That as you go into the final hearing, the claimant says, look, I want X amount of money in damages. The respondent says, that's crazy, you can only get Y amount of money in damages. And the arbitrator picks between one or the other. They don't have any power other than to say X or Y. And that's how the case comes out. If you don't want the arbitrator to know what's going on, they also have something called night baseball, where the arbitrator goes ahead and gives you a decision, and then you look and say it was closer to X or closer to Y, and that's the one we're going to go with. In long ongoing disputes, big construction projects, or where parties have to keep dealing with each other over time, no matter how this arbitration comes out, you have things called dispute resolution boards that they set up a panel that just hears your periodic disputes as they come up, gives you an answer, and off you go. So there are some other tools available that you can use in putting together arbitration clauses or arbitration programs. Now, there are some pitfalls to avoid. I would call this one the Mother May I Award. And this one has a clause that says that if there's a dispute between the parties, it may be resolved by final and binding arbitration. Plaintiff files a lawsuit, and when the court says, why are you here as opposed to arbitration, the party said, well, the word is may. I may arbitrate, and I may litigate. And that was a little bit of a head-scratcher for the court for a while until it said, well, actually, you may arbitrate or you may stay home, but you may not be here. You don't have that kind of choice. Use mandatory language in your arbitration clauses. Avoid the word may. Use the word shall. If you want to have an arbitration or dispute, that's what you're going to do. There's not some elective process available to the parties. Another one that I see all too frequently, I call litigation envy. And this is where parties draft arbitration clauses and they say, we are going to have an arbitration, and we're going to follow the federal rules of evidence or the Texas rules of evidence and the federal rules of procedure and the Texas rules of procedure. Let me tell you what you've just done in an arbitration that is supposed to be better, faster, and cheaper. If you're in under the federal rules, you now have a Rule 12b motion to dismiss practice and a Rule 12c motion to dismiss practice. Most arbitrators would tell you they are not interested in hearing dispositive motions. They don't want to hear summary judgments unless they are very clean motions, like a statute of limitations issue or some kind of affirmative waiver or release issue. Because if it's a factual issue, it's more efficient to just go ahead and hear the argument, hear what the parties have to say. There are techniques to streamline your arbitration, but they don't want to have the dispositive motions take place when they are typically not granted and just add to the cost. So your Rule 12b practice is not helping anybody. You also have pulled in Federal Rule 26, discovery rules, electronically stored information, you now get to go through all of your servers and collect all of your electronic data and think about whether you're going to preserve it, are you going to produce it, what's relevant, how do you store it, how do you sort it. You've added a significant amount of cost. And in litigation, over 60% of the cost typically is in discovery, and the lion's share of that comes in the electronically stored information. You've bargained for something you probably didn't want. Rule 37, you have sanctions that can now be issued against the parties. Rule 38, what are you going to do when somebody demands trial by jury in an arbitration? Now, we can say it's never going to happen, but it's what you've agreed to. The flip side of that, and perhaps even more disconcerting, is agreeing to the rules of evidence, which sounds kind of innocuous. I mean, if you're in an arbitration, you're still going to object to hearsay, you're still going to object to authentication of the documents. And what you expect the arbitrator to say 99 times out of 100 is, we're going to receive it and give it the weight to which it's entitled. That doesn't mean it's dispositive. It doesn't mean anybody really cares. Here's what it means, is the arbitrator is protecting you from yourself. Because one of the bases for overturning an award, pretty much everywhere, is a party didn't get a chance to present their case. And what you don't want to do is have an appellate court weigh in and say, there was an incorrect ruling on the admission of some evidence, and it kept a party from proving their case, and so we're going to start this one over. You're better off if your arbitrator just lets things in. You can make your objection. It flags for the arbitrator. There's a problem with this, but you expect it to come in. And in Texas, it's particularly disconcerting because under the NAFTA traders case, you can actually bargain for expanded judicial review because you can say, we agreed to follow Texas law, they didn't follow Texas law, and because they didn't do so, we have an additional basis for our appeal. Well, if you said we're going to follow the Texas rules of evidence, that's a basis for appeal that you probably didn't intend to graft on.